Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Psych Mike. My name's Arati, and...
And my name is Tony, and we are the new education directors of this semester. So I will be taking care of internal education, whereas Arati will be taking care of external. We hope to see you at our future events soon. And we have a very special guest today. Arati, would you like to introduce him?
Yeah, man. All right, today we have Shakti Mental Health. For those people that came to our industry expo last year, you would have seen Shakti's stall on day two. So founded in 2018, Shakti Mental Health was formed as a safe place for South Asians to find well-being advocacy. With an extensive register of South Asian mental health practitioners made accessible, Shakti Mental Health continues to contribute to the overall well-being of our community. Yay!
Amazing!
Yeah! So we have Jugesh here today. Do you want to give us a quick intro about
Hi, how are you guys? I'm very excited to be part of the podcast. But yeah, Shakti Mental Health, founded in 2018, like Arati said. We advocate for mental health in the South Asian Australian community, share a lot of different perspectives of South Asian mental health. We're doing a lot of events. Looking forward to chatting with you all.
Beautiful. All right, let's get straight into it then. Arati, would you like to introduce kind of their programs that they've been running recently as well?
Yeah, so I've been stalking you guys as per usual. If you guys haven't followed Shakti Mental Health on Instagram, or if you haven't followed Mupa yet either, that's something you should be doing. Yeah, you guys had the Karam night recently, about 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, it was awesome. So we did a Karam and Chai night in collaboration with Chai Wali, which is a local chai company here. And the reason we're doing events like Karam and Chai night is it just gives South Asian and multicultural community a different avenue to discuss well-being, which is not like just in a room setting where you're sitting down. You're actually like taking part in like activities such as Karam, which is, you know, closely related to a lot of South Asians. You're doing it over chai and you're doing it over like really cool discussions as well. So you've got like a really cool catalyst in front of you. So we love doing events like this and collaborating with companies such as Chai Wali to really collab together and just spread the word of advocacy and uplift some well-being initiatives. Yeah,
I mean, I don't know about you, but Karam is such an essential thing that brings families together. For our listeners, Karam is kind of like a board game, like an Indian board game, and you use your fingers to flick a disc sort of thing.
That's the one.
It's kind of like pool, but
use your fingers? Use your fingers.
I've had so many white marks on my nails.
Yeah, we had a lot of people on the day afterwards. It's like, it hurts. And we had like girls with nails as well. They're like, they get banned, but you know, it's like,
You don't play Karam with nails. That's a big no. Also, you guys recently got the Study Melbourne Inclusion Program grants from the government.
Which is really cool. So Shakti Mental Health collaborating with Umid Psychology with Anushka Fall, and then Third Culture Australia, Krishna Devsin Ravalji, who's another friend of ours, who's an advocate and a bit of a social entrepreneur, and then another international student, Kay Waiki Poon, who's a former international student, is pretty much like migrated to Melbourne, has got a lot of lived experience with mental health and support from Hong Kong students. So us four together are doing a project to uplift well-being of international students in Melbourne, part of the grant. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, that all sounds really good. Just before that, I'm glad that you explained what Karam was, because I was saying that. I personally haven't played it before, but I just had a good Google search. It sounds fun, like the way you described it.
Yeah,
that sounds really good. Perhaps the future Mupa idea.
I was going to say.
Definitely. We can definitely do it. Yeah, it'd be really cool. Exactly. We could do it.
Just before, also, for listeners who haven't heard of Shakti Mental Health before, could you touch on like some of your aims and the objectives with your
programs? Yeah, so what we're looking to do is give a safe space for South Asian and wider multicultural community in an avenues to discuss and support their mental health and well-being. So one of the things we started with was what we call Shakti Perspectives, and where we invite South Asian individuals on our Instagram and social media to share what their mental health journey is. So share like their advocacy, kind of if they're comfortable, struggles they went through, and then what supported them into mental health. And we found that when other South Asians and audience read that, it gives them hopefully the courage and confidence to start looking for their own mental health journey. So you see another person who's discussing like anxiety, depression, or family conflict, relationship breakdown from a South Asian perspective, you might think to yourself, oh, there's others out here who are also discussing and looking for this support. Maybe it's time like I look for my own support as well. Yeah, because of that, we've also got, like Arati said, our South Asian Mental Health Professional Register that people can jump onto. So if they're looking for like a psychologist, mental health worker, clinician, could be an arts therapist from South Asian background, they can use our contact list to find someone who they'll relate to and hopefully, you know, get some good outcomes from as well.
That's actually a perfect segue because we're going to talk about finding the right psychologist.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is so incredibly difficult, especially if you're coming from a culturally diverse background.
Yeah.
In Australia, especially. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's yeah, it's really hard. I think I could share from like lived experience as well. When I first looked at like therapy, I did it through the employee assistance program, and just found like a therapist on there who was available, who was like a Caucasian therapist. It was like this old white lady. So my first like sessions with her, I felt forced to just say stuff. There'd be times where she'd just stare at me and like nod her head, and I was like, I don't know what I do here. So I just like kept, I don't know, blurting out different things. So it wasn't a very like good experience in like a therapy sense. I did get some like good strategies in terms of like how to sleep better, but in terms of like cultural connection, that wasn't really there. So like when I went again for therapy like 2-3 years later, I really like took the time to find someone who was from a South Asian background. And within like that first meeting I had with the new therapist, like I was explaining what I was going through and she said straight away, like, I totally understand where you're coming from. And just hearing that sentence is, you know, just gives you a lot of confidence as a client because you can see from that mental health perspective, that person knows similar cultures. They know what you're going through. They might know like South Asian family history or troubles. So you don't have to over explain and re explain something that to a non South Asian or someone who doesn't have that like cultural lens. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. I think all that's really relevant. And I think it's much more powerful, I guess, personally, when I see an organization like Shakti that's targeted towards like a specific group.
Yeah.
That, like, we're all Asian here. So it's got, we kind of personally can understand and can relate to.
Yeah, no, exactly.
On, like, for example, the websites and it's like you guys going through your experiences or anything, it definitely makes a huge difference when you're just approaching a program that maybe you haven't heard before and you're thinking of whether to go ahead with it or perhaps look for something else. I think that goes without saying. And I think just that more representation because the cultural norms is, I think, shared like throughout Asia almost, like the kind of, not stigma in a sense, but like no need to kind of talk about mental health and bring it up in a family setting or anything like that. It's kind of like a non-issue. Not that it's not serious, but it's just not something that we gravitate towards. Whereas in other cultures, it's probably a bit more prevalent, especially now, which is good that we're happy, openly discussing it. So I think Shakti does a really good job just focusing on like a group of people that you have identified as a potential population to help out, and I think that's very powerful for just reaching out to those people and connecting with them on a deeper scale. Because I think ultimately that's the main thing. When you go on a website and you see people similar to you, you just naturally gravitate towards them. And would you say that's what it's all about?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think that's like definitely what it's all about. And we can see with like other orgs, like you guys have like supported like Shapes and Sounds do a similar thing with Asian Australian mental health. So Asami has like a list of Asian practitioners on her website and they do a lot of like professional support sessions for Asian therapists and psychologists too. And you can see with like Omid Psychology, Polar Practice as well, who have got lists of multicultural mental health professionals. So it's really cool to see in Melbourne or Victoria more mental health professionals from a South Asian or multicultural background are becoming more prevalent and people are taking the time to really find a psychologist that works from them, especially from like a cultural lens and perspective.
Yeah, man. Like, yeah, considering, like, Melbourne's such a diverse place, like, the culture makes Melbourne, you know? So it's like, why should we be ignoring the people that make Melbourne, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
So I also wanted to get your thoughts on kind of the cultural stigma in our current society. Maybe in Australia, but also it's going to be different cross-cultural, but let's just maybe focus on here. Like, this is quite relevant to our studies. We both study psychopathology, so we touch on kind of mental health and the cultural differences across different countries, but also just across time as well. So a concept that we've kind of explored more is concept creep. So I don't know if you've heard of that before.
No.
Like, terms of mental illness and the buzzwords that we like hear now very commonly, such as anxiety, disorder, things like that, they're becoming more and more prevalent within just like just generic discourse, day-to-day conversations. Obviously, that has great impacts and great benefits in reducing stigma, because people are more comfortable talking about it in an everyday sense. But I want to get your thoughts as well, because that's a good notion. But also the counter argument is perhaps we're diminishing kind of the less serious conditions of mental illness by just kind of referring to things like ADHD. They just pass through our everyday discourse.
I'm so OCD.
So, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
Do you want to say that?
I already said I'm so OCD. Like, we just throw around these terms.
Yeah.
So, kind of, we don't want to diminish the impact of severe mental health. So, the other counter argument is kind of, are we just kind of making it less serious? Are we perhaps considering more benign circumstances of serious mental health because we're just so used to using these, previously clinically significant, terms? So, I want to get your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I think, I don't know if it can be less serious. I feel like we're heading towards, especially in Nam and Melbourne, we're heading towards more seriousness, I think, about mental health. And I think where the conversation has to go is supporting our parents and then grandparents' generation of how to have the discussion with us and use terms that they understand. You know, when you're discussing anxiety and depression and, ADHD or what is neurodivergency as well, we need terms that other multicultural community can understand. So sometimes it's having someone who can speak in their language as well. And that's something I think I have struggled with in the past, is how to speak about mental health with people or community members older than me. One, because my Gujarati is terrible and I can't speak it very well. But also not knowing what those terms are in different languages. Yeah. So, how do you talk about depression or in Punjabi or Tamil or another language? So you really got to use that discourse of different language with community members. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause I speak Malayalam.
Yeah.
So I'm from Kerala. And we generally just don't have a word for depressed or anxious or, I don't know, ADHD. Most of those go under the same word.
Yeah.
And it's called pranda, and it means crazy.
Yeah.
Everything is oh, I'm sad. No. I'm extremely sad. No, it's...
Yeah.
It gets re-termed and redefined as crazy.
Yeah.
It's so hard to...
You can't... It's hard to categorize it, right?
You can't categorize
it. It's hard to, really put it into words and without... And tell people this is what I'm going through.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's just overlooked. Yeah.
You touched on a really good point. It's the importance of intergenerational teaching and passing on if we haven't been exposed to the norm of discussing mental health in families, we could start now.
Exactly.
We could start practicing now, because you touched on a really good point, the language barrier, because I speak Chinese at home. But I spent most of my life here and I grew up here. So we can go across some threshold where perhaps I can't contribute as much.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's really important also to emphasize the support systems outside of your family. So things like Shakti, where you focus on a specific population of people, and everyone, in that community, everyone's familiar to you and everyone has shared, maybe shared experiences, but definitely shared cultural understanding or even language. So having that support network that you are comfortable one speaking to, but also you can physically speak to as well, is so, so important. So that's another thing that, I identified, reading through the things that Shakti does that I thought was super crucial. But yeah, I also noticed that Shakti is relatively new as an org. So you started founding in 2018?
Yeah, started in 2018. So it's been a slow growth since then. So we started in 2018 and a lot of what we did was just social media, Shakti Perspective. So doing our stories on different individual mental health journeys. And then over COVID, we did a few more kind of Zoom sessions. So only in the last 2-3 years, 2 years or so, have we started doing in-person collaborations and events that are we're doing a lot of like now discussion well-being circles. We're doing a lot of like just dialogues on well-being discussion, different creative lenses to discuss and support well-being for South Asian and wider multicultural community now. Yeah.
Just a little thing separate from this, but do you think COVID was a Kickstarter for awareness of cultural mental health? Like,
yeah.
Do you think it helped people from culturally diverse backgrounds to reach out?
Yeah.
Considering you're basically helpless, like you're
locked out. Straight up. It definitely did. It showed the impact of or the need for more mental health support, especially for like South Asian multicultural community. And it showed how little support like we have. I was talking to like other friends from like, I think a gendered lens. If you were like a South Asian and a guy, I think you had a little more freedom talking to friends about maybe going outside, doing things with your friends and like seeing them. Whereas talking to like female friends and those from other genders, they didn't have that same security of being able to go out and see people. And then it's even worse if like you're in a multicultural South Asian family and you don't already get along with your family or people around you. During COVID, that just like it become like magnified more because you have to spend like 24 hours with these people around you.
Oh my God.
And you're just stuck in your room. And if you don't have those positive relationships, it just like the trauma, like you're just isolated even more because, you can't go anywhere. Yeah.
Low-key gonna trauma dump here. I have really strict parents. So this was something that really resonated with me. But it really depends on how you twist that situation. Mm. Like if you make the effort to, because your parents aren't going to change.
No.
They're 50, 60.
It's so hard.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's like, don't come down to their level, but set the boundaries where you can still interact with them and still have your own freedom.
Yeah.
Considering the time that we were in. But yeah, I hope that all of our listeners got through that period of their life.
It was very tough.
Yeah. But that was also a good way we can go into our next point. It's like, how do you talk to your parents and guardians about the needs of your own mental health or how is it like for youth in general? How would you talk to your parents about something?
I would especially do it in a environment or space that you feel safe. So if that's not like your family home, like go out to, you know, have a coffee with your mum and dad or parents, do it in somewhere like that you have a safe space where you feel comfortable talking about it. Whether that's public or whether that's like at home or on a car drive or something. So you should feel safe or comfortable, number one, in having that discussion. And make sure you also discuss why it's important for them to understand mental health and that conversation. So you can talk about like what you've been going through as well. You can talk about like either like facing depression or anxiety or coming up, like having like traits of ADHD or saying, I'm going to see a psychologist or mental health professional and this is why. And then at the end of it, they don't have to understand why you're going through what you're going through. They might not be your support network either of things you want to speak to them about, but at least they have some context of what's going on. Because at the same time, like I think like a lot of young people at the moment, they sometimes shut out their parents or guardians. You know, you come home from school and they're like, how was school? And you're like, good. And you just go to your room. So at the same time, we need to give some leeway on what's going on with our lives too. And then you can say to them, like, these are different ways you can support me. So maybe I need space for myself. Maybe I need an hour just without family troubles or, you know, in the mornings it can be like quite loud if we can like reduce the noise or something like that. So maybe come up with some strategies with your parents or guardians or what they can do to support your mental health. And maybe some resources at the end of the day too. And like I said before, they might not totally understand it, but if they have context of what they can do and what you're going through, is at least you've started that conversation with them.
Yeah, for sure. That's very detailed insight into the avenues for like the kind of the advice for avenues of how you could go about it. Because like the generic mental health tips are quite generic, like everyone preaches about them. So I think it's important to recognize how individualized each person's situation is, like maybe comfortable doing this or maybe talking to a family member or talking to a friend, or might be the exact opposite. You might be not comfortable talking to a friend, rather a family member or someone closer to you. And also not everyone has the same circumstance, so you might not be able to find a safe space.
No.
Maybe your parents are too busy. If your friends are too busy, maybe they're not the right type of friends to talk to them about that topic. So it is very individual, which is definitely something that you guys stress as well.
Mm-hmm.
And it's that kind of emphasizes the importance of individualized care as well.
Yeah.
It's like having someone that actually cares about your situation,
yeah,
and can relate to you, and you can relate to them as well, who've likely been in the same circumstance or experience before. I also want to touch on, you mentioned how Shakti was relatively new.
Mm-hmm.
Could you describe also like the future programs that you had in mind and what's coming up in the future?
Yeah. So things we've got coming up. So we recently got a grant from Study Melbourne to support and uplift the mental health of international students in Victoria. So our project is called Uplift and Changemakers Project. And we're currently in like the first stage of that, where what we are going to first do is recruit 8 to 10 international students who can co-design our project with us. So we'll release that expression of interest form out soon. And then we're going to do a bunch of workshops on mental health literacy, financial independence, employability. And then we're also going to have some trainings that are all like paid for the international students who can co-design with us. So international students who co-design on that project with us will get trained in public speaking, community consultation, mental health first aid, to support them in our project. So it's about an 8 to 12 month project that we're going to do. Aside from that, we're also going to do some more creative well-being discussions and events. So hopefully in June we're going to do a South Asian Multicultural Arts Group Therapy Day, and then July, August we're going to do a trauma-informed yoga workshop, and then we're also going to continue our all-gendered South Asian discussions and then men's South Asian well-being discussions as well.
I mean, as I talked to you before this podcast as well, like, we are more than happy to collaborate with you guys.
Yeah, that would be really cool.
In any way.
Yeah.
And if there's any roles within Shakti that students can be involved in, like, we know that one of your essential members actually goes to Univolve, and Naveen has to listen to this podcast. Because we name dropped him. But is there any way that our members could be involved?
Definitely. Yeah. We're at the moment just putting together some, like, I'm getting like a form together for like volunteer opportunities. So I think what we'll do is like get a like expression of interest similar form of like volunteer with Shakti, so we can get a good group of like students and those interested to come together just to our events, advocate, just take part in like either like workshop days or like market stalls, and give us ideas really on how to better support multicultural South Asian well-being. Yeah,
that sounds really good. Like, there's always people out there that want to get involved.
Legit,
The only problem is like the lack of access, or perhaps they don't know about it, or they haven't seen like an attractive way in, and they don't know how to get involved. Like, sending a cold email is quite daunting.
Yeah.
So it's like having that source, like having Naveen there as well, name dropping again. But that's really encouraging for us as well, because we're students, apparently he's in the same year as us. So like, we can't wait to, you should join MUPA, Naveen, if you're listening. But
I'm surprised he hasn't. Why haven't you joined MUPA yet, Naveen? You're literally a psych student.
Yeah, well, he has to listen to this now. By the way, I'm Tony, and this is Arati. We don't even haven't met you yet, but...
Oh, no, we're mutuals on Instagram. Okay, we're mutuals on Instagram.
We're going off script here, but that's cool, coming back to the script, there's always people out there that want to get involved, especially, like, we noticed, we're both part of MOOC, but we noticed within our cohort, our cohort's quite large.
Mm.
There's, like, 2,000 kids in first year, maybe 1,000 mm-hmm. in second year. So there will be people out there definitely that want to get involved. It's just about getting the word out there. And also, I'm just curious with Shakti, like, I'm aware that's in its early stages currently. Are you at all looking to expand beyond South Asia, or is that the kind of the niche you're focusing on now?
So I think primarily we're focusing on our South Asian audience. Mostly because like that's like the background I'm from, and then that's the gap that I've seen with mental health and well-being support. But like, we're in terms of like expanding, what we'd love to do is get like a board together for Shakti Mental Health, because that will support us in getting either like DGR or non-for-profit status, and register as a charity. And then like a major goal, what I'd love to see is like a representative of Shakti Mental Health in different states of Australia. So in like, you know, Western Australia, New South Wales, Queensland. So you've got a local contact point or someone who can discuss South Asian mental health advocacy across Australia. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool, man. So how I actually discovered you guys on, well, it was through Instagram.
Yep.
And I saw, I was like straight out of COVID, and you guys were talking about like men's mental health discussions, and that was just so new at that stage. That was like, that was the first time I'd ever seen it on social media. I'm like, damn. And like also the combination of it being a South Asian.
Yeah. 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 So the reason
I was like, damn. Yeah.
Yeah. So the reason we started our men's mental health, discussions and initiative is like through our social media, we found that a lot of majority of our perspectives were from female and other genders. So we saw that, you know, we need to do something to, you know, try and get men involved in the discussion. So we had like an inaugural like men's mental health wellbeing discussion about 2 years ago. And off the back of that, this is where Naveen gets involved. So Naveen is one of our discussion facilitators for Shakti Mental Health, who runs our South Asian men's wellbeing discussions, and now he's quite involved in like other aspects of Shakti too. So because of that, we got some funding to start doing like monthly men's wellbeing discussions for South Asian community, and it's just another avenue for South Asian men to get together, share resources, share like issues or challenges that they might have been going through, and that's something that we're going to continue on throughout different parts of Melbourne going forward.
That's the third time Naveen got name dropped. So now he kind of, he has to listen to the podcast three times now. That is the rule. But with the South Asian community in general, like the patriarchy is, horrible. Like the misogyny runs deep.
It's deep-rooted. It sucks.
Yeah, exactly.
And you can see like just off topic a little on that, like you can see in Melbourne, it sucks because we've had all these, like a lot of recent domestic violence cases and a lot of women in like Australia who have lost their lives because of
it. Yes, definitely.
And there's been a lot of domestic violence perpetrated by South Asian and men in the community too. So we've been a part of campaigns before where we specifically tried to advocate for South Asian multicultural men to realize the importance of domestic violence and family violence. And it's something that we need to keep doing as a community, as a multicultural community, because we need different ways and different people to like speak up and advocate for it as well. So, and it sucks that, you know, like it's just, it keeps going and there doesn't seem like a real goal or end to it. So I think there's got to be some different methods, some different creative ways that we can really stop like what's really happening.
Exactly. Like I thought, especially like when you come to like our generation of things, I thought things would be different because we're exposed to so much media that goes against all of these stereotypes and things like that. But then you hear about horrible things in the news and you're like, where did it all go wrong? Like, why is it still going wrong?
And it's some of that, like what you mentioned, that deep-rooted like patriarchy of like in South Asian communities of like the women being at home, not having a voice, like the man being like the breadwinner, and a lot of women not having space to go to, and like people just say, well, why can't they leave home? It's not really as simple as that. And like there's all that like discord around, well, like the female or children have to leave. Why is it on them to leave when they're not the perpetrators? Exactly. You should get the male out of that building, out of that place.
Exactly.
Like women shouldn't have to go to a refuge. You should get men away from that place and put them somewhere so the women and child don't have to go anywhere. Little things. And it's just, I don't know, like, yeah, our government just, I don't know, they're just very backwards at the moment.
not towards the domestic violence end of things, but even just in the general patriarchy, misogyny of South Asian community things in general. Like, I do Bharatanatyam, which is an Indian dance form, and most of my class is, like, mums, like, Indian mums and stuff, and they use that class as a refuge away from their day-to-day life, where they're forced to look after their kids because their husbands are little, their children, their husbands are children. So, I mean, it's things like that that need to change. Yeah. Like, from our generation and younger onwards, it's like this sort of thing needs to change.
Exactly, yeah.
Hopefully, one day.
Yeah.
We basically went through all our points. Do you want to talk about anything else?
Cool, no. I think, Follow us on Instagram, Shakti Mental Health. If you haven't yet, please stay tuned to our upcoming events.
And collaborations with Moopa.
Yes, collaborations. We'd love to do like another like Karam event, yes, or another like creative event coming up. Yeah. So yeah, please stay tuned.
Yeah, sounds good. We definitely will. That was super, super insightful. Thank you so much, Jagesh, for that. I think it goes without saying how beneficial your org and similar orgs
like that
do for everyone, especially minority populations, where sometimes we don't know where to start and we don't know where to go. So I think that goes without saying. Also, just the benefit that listeners may have and the insightful comments that you shared. You guys are super open to sharing your experiences, yep, which we love. Yep. And that's always super motivating and super inspirational for us as students as well to listen to. And it's really great. It's really exciting to hear that you are opening opportunities for us, because we're students. We always love experience.
Yeah, so exactly.
We
love free things. We want experience.
Free everything. But yeah, we'll definitely. There's definitely going to be people out there that want to get involved, and we would love to collaborate with Shakti again in the future. Yeah. You guys seem like great people with a great cause. So. Yeah, just thank you so much for your time.
Amazing.
No, will we see you at Industry Expo as well this year?
I think we will, yeah. Send us an invite. We would love to be there.
I'm in charge now, so I gotta have to.
You don't have a choice.
No. That's exactly. Cool. Yeah. No, thank you so much for coming out today.
No, thank you so much for having us.
It was such a long trek for you as well.
No worries.
Thanks for listening, guys. Thanks, Tony. Thank you so much, Tony.
Thanks for listening, guys. And also apologize for Kuima, our editor, because that will probably take a while. But yeah, thanks so much.
Our mic is messed up. All right, until next time on Psych Mic. Yeah.
Woo! Very awesome. Cool.